and say thank you for your kind invitation, and thank you for your fellowship in the Lord. I'll just read from God's Word. Please turn with me. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16 to the end of the chapter. This is the word of the living God. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." I'm sure you are familiar with this passage of scriptures, and you must have read this passage of scriptures many times. You must have heard many, many sermons preached on this passage. And as the title says, a great commission. We have just celebrated the Easter, the risen Savior. We looked at the passages. I'm sure you must have Easter services. You have Good Friday communion service. Looking at the cross on Sunday, you look at about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what next? What next? And some of you have been Christian for a long, long time. You've been following the Lord. You've been trusting in Him. You've been drawing near to Him, having communion with Him, enjoying His fellowship. Is that all? Is that all? You know, we all enjoy Christian fellowship, and it's rich and rewarding, but it is not our primary responsibility. I know that we are called to praise and worship, but that too is rich and enriching, but that is not our primary responsibility. I know we are called to learn the Word of God, to teach and to preach and to build others in the Word of God, and to encourage people to understand and have better understanding the Scriptures. That is good too. But that's not our primary responsibility. Our primary responsibility is found in verse 19. Make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. Well, when I am one of those fixing into those all nations, probably we have others as well. I'm from Pakistan, came to know the Lord in 1996, and since then I never regret a single day. It's been hard, it's been tough, it hasn't been easy. Difficulties, persecution, but praise the Lord, I believe in the risen Savior. I'm sure you do as well. And there is a command for us. There is a command: go and make disciples, all nations, of all the nations. Well, we all enjoy fellowship, don't we? After becoming Christian, coming to know the Lord, following Him, reading His Word, accepting the risen Savior, we enjoy fellowship with each other in the church. Like I said, not all. We all like praising and worshipping, teaching and training. If that's all what the Lord wants from you, then He would have taken you to heaven, because heaven is the place where there is perfect worship, perfect fellowship, perfect praise, perfect teaching and training, and knowledge and wisdom. He should have been taken you to heaven the day you were converted. And you need to ask yourself, why has He left you? Why has He left you in this world? The reason we are left here is in order that we might make disciples of all nations. All nations. So that is our God's given priority. And that should be the priority of the church. The church, the living God. You know, Jesus said, Jesus came, the Bible says, what He came to do? To seek and to save the lost. And we have the same task, to seek and bring salvation to the lost. And so that's what it means to make disciples. Disciples means making learners, students, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing it? Are you going out? Are you reaching out to all nations? Now this is a command. I'm not telling you. I'm sure you have the same Bible. This is in the Bible. All nations. That's the beauty of scriptures. That's the beauty of our risen Savior. All nations. Well, we will look at five keys. Five keys in this passage of scriptures. It's been taught from the Lord to me, and I hope it will be helpful to you. What is necessary to make effective disciples? What is necessary? Five keys that we must have if we are to fulfill this priority. Verse 18. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. He told them to meet me on the mountain in Galilee. Come and meet with me, He told the 11 disciples. So disciples are showing with their actions. What's the first thing? Availability. Willingness to go and meet their risen Savior. He's about to be ascended to His Father in heaven. Availability, willingness. Are you available for the Lord? Are you willing to serve the Lord? These were poor and common people. They simply put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 11. And they listened and followed and made themselves available for the Lord. If you remember Isaiah's calling in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, when the Lord God called Isaiah to that nation and He says, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. It's a similar calling, isn't it? Availability, willingness. Well, I trust that you have that too. If you have a burning desire to meet your Lord and the needs of the lost, those 11 were there, those 11 disciples, They want you to see the living Christ. There was enough desire in their hearts to follow him. Well, that's the first point, is availability. Are you available for the Lord? Well, you find sometimes Christians, followers of Christ, believers of Christ, they don't even bother to meet with other Christians. How would they go out and speak to the non-Christians? They have nothing good to say to their own fellow believers. They are struggling even to say something to the non-Christians. They are not available. Are you available for the Lord? Are you willing to go? That's the first key word, is availability. And secondly, you can say worship. Worship. Verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Well, they saw him. They saw their Savior is suffering on the cross. They saw his suffering. They abandoned him. They rejected him. They just ran away. They disappeared. They didn't want you to be associated with this man who's dying on the cross, who's suffering on the cross. No one wanted to be associated with this Savior who's dying on the cross, this Jesus of Nazareth. No one wanted to associate with this Jesus of Nazareth who's suffering on the cross. But when they saw him, that he's risen from the dead, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. But some had doubt. Some had doubt. None of you have seen a risen Savior. I didn't see a risen Savior. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Kind of odd to worship a risen Savior. You haven't seen it. How can you believe in resurrection? How can you believe in a risen Savior? Where do you learn? Where do you hear? Well, I'm sure most of you believe in risen Savior. You see, resurrection in creation. A seed dies in the winter, in the soil, and springtime is spring forth fruit. You see, resurrection in creation. You see, resurrection in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of it. The disciples speaks of it. But when they saw him, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. That's another key word we can learn from this passage. And verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. Sign of submission, isn't it? Submission. The Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, I just missed one point. When they had doubts, when they were finding it hard to believe in the risen Savior, what did he do in verse 18? Then Jesus came to them. Jesus came to them. I think it was to give them more evidence, to show them that he is risen. He is risen from the dead. He is Lamb of God. He is risen. Verse 18, we see submission. He began with the fact that he was king, and king means sovereign. He has authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority means complete freedom of action. That is authority. He acts independently. No person can influence him. He is independent. He has freedom to do exactly what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with what he wants, to whomever he wants. All authority, no exceptions. Total sovereign right to rule. And it says, been given to him by his Father. So he is king, he has authority, so we must submit to his authority. He is Lord. So we have seen the first word, availability, then the worship, and thirdly, we have seen submission. And fourthly, we can see in this passage the word obedience. Obedience. Disciples to show obedience. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Obedience is an important word, isn't it? If you are available, if you are worshipful, and if you are submissive, therefore go. Go and make disciples. And here we come directly in contact with obedience. We have a command in this verse. The command is to make disciples. So how do you make disciples? How do you make disciples? By going, baptizing, and teaching all nations. That's a simple structure, isn't it? So, to say, make disciples, involve in people's life, walking with them, involve in leading them to the Lord, teaching them the Word of God, showing them the forgiveness of their sins, helping them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow them to baptism. Well, I'm sure baptism is a simple sign, outward sign. It's a public identification of their union with Christ, confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior and identifying themselves with Him outwardly. So we have seen, if you are willing, if you are available, if you are worshipful, if you are submissive and obedient to His word, then go and make disciples. All nations. All nations. Well, I know I'm rushing through my notes. I was only given 20 minutes to speak. One thing we must see in this, the fifth, is the power. The power is in verse 20, the last part, it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what is the power? You have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. Has come upon you, and He is with you always in the form of His indwelling Holy Spirit. What a great truth, isn't it? What a great truth. And He said, and surely I am with you always to the end, to the very end of the age. But that's the gift from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before He was ascended to heaven. You have this Holy Spirit in you. Or do you have this Holy Spirit in you? How do we know that we have Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, my understanding is I still sin and I'm a follower of Christ. But Holy Spirit convicts me. I see things which are wrong. I say it wrong. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, when you see something wrong, you don't say it's wrong. You don't see it as wrong. That's my understanding. But do you have a willing heart? Are you available? Are you there listening to the voice of God, communing with Him, hearing Him speak through the Spirit? Do you have a worshipping heart? Do you have a humble heart submitting to the privilege of sharing in His kingdom? Then go and make disciples.